One of the overriding questions that we've been addressing for the past 5 years here at CSO is the role of public-private partnerships in security. In the post-9/11 world, government has taken a more visible role in trying to facilitate these partnerships, but businesses have often approached them with a fair degree of trepidation and reserve, fearful that the information they share with law enforcement might get into the hands of competitors or the media and impact them negatively. Businesses have genuine concerns. The U.S. government tried to assuage these fears with FOIA exemptions that would exclude this type of information from disclosure under Freedom of Information Act requests. But to this day, many general counsels restrict the sharing of information until that exemption has been tested in the courts. The most revealing part of this issue is the benefits that are realized when these partnerships are established. John Stewart, Cisco's Systems VP and Chief Security Officer, is in a unique position to tell us about his experiences with public-private partnerships and where your organization can gain benefits from them.
John, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Bob. It's good to talk to you again.
So let's get right at it. Many people fear partnering with the government because they have these visions of the FBI or the Secret Service or other law enforcement agencies descending upon their offices after a breach and walking out the door with all their PCs and their servers. You think that's a fair concern?
I think it's a prevalent concern. I think... part of that concern's derived from just having not worked together a great deal. And so there's a great sense of preconceived notions as to what, frankly, any of the law enforcement agencies are capable of doing without, you know, things like warrants. and also what they would be doing in the best interest of getting to conclusions on what problem was created they would ever ask for information. But from our experience, and certainly my own personal experience, that's just not the modus operandi. And in so many ways, especially with things like either critical infrastructure or electronic security breaches that go nationally or internationally, it's the collaboration between law enforcement and private industry that's almost necessary, because it ends up crossing borders that are outside of any private institution's ability to go and investigate anyhow. So what it really comes down to is, if you work with those organizations, as with many, you'll find out what they need, how they would use it, how they can get it, how you can help them get it to make the goal of whoever is at the root cause of the problem be captured or talked to faster. And that way you can, in fact, aid the investigation as opposed to feel somehow you're victimized by it.
So from your standpoint, why are partnerships with government agencies, at every level of government, important for protecting an organization's critical infrastructures from the various types of threats out there, like cyber, terrorists, physical attacks, natural disasters, and so on?
So part of what I've always been a big believer in public-private, and having realized that, say, from a national level, and we'll just use the United States in this case, over 50% of the country's critical infrastructure is being operated by public agencies, by private industry, rather. And in that respect, we're co-resident. So, the power institutions, water, transportation, and the like, being in the hands of private industry, there's a natural need for the two types of organizations to work together. Secondarily, The nature of the work that we're doing, I think, is still very similar in some regards. We want the best for the institutions that are within the borders, no matter which borders you're living in. And so in some respects, there are roles that only one or the other can play. Law can only be enforced by a law enforcement agency, not by, in most cases, private institutions. At the same time, the needs of, say, electronic scenarios, as I was talking about earlier, where you're dealing with a cyber event of some kind, traditionally will cross boundaries of one country to another, and in that respect are out of the jurisdiction of most private corporations anyhow. And last but not least is the nature of the work that is being done has got an interconnected set of capabilities anyhow. So be it technologically, many companies are providing information and capabilities to governments now. The government in and of itself is attempting to, in its own way, help and aid those organizations. And so we're married at the hip. And it's now just a matter of how do you work through the delicate issues of information sharing and public disclosure and oversight, regulation law, et cetera? And the only way to get through them is to keep talking.
Well, how should an organization go about forming that relationship with those various areas of the government? I mean, how do they work together and really to be able to plan for possible disasters and problems that may come up?
So part of it's outreach on both sides. For example, everything from, say, Cyberstorm as one example of where public and private get together and go through a series of real-life examples in a given region on a disaster before it happens is one example. And that's where whose role and what role does each group play, both public, private, and even multiple public agencies and multiple private agencies at the same time, trying to play their own role and make sure they understand how to do it. That's definitely one. That's more of a formalized event, which has got a set of critique expectations and some learnings derived from it. That's one way that the various sides can work together. I think the second is, frankly, the informal side. If you think about the amazing set of challenges that law enforcement teams, for example, in one aspect of government have at their door, and they're attempting to work on each, a cup of coffee won't hurt. And the informal kind of relationship of just reaching out to your local United States Secret Service side or the FBI or internationally, of course, the local government agencies that work in law enforcement, and just sitting down with their local team and having a cup of coffee and talking about what you do and what they do is immensely useful. It dispels some of the beliefs on both sides, quite honestly. And it also means that, especially when you're asking about disaster scenarios, it means you've got a name and you've got a phone number. And there is, I think it's an invaluable set of information to have if something goes wrong. Because so often when a real-life situation happens, which, by the way, no matter how much you plan, it never goes exactly like you think it could. And so it's a matter of then building trust really fast, knowing who to call, knowing who's playing what role. And that kind of informal and formal practice ends up building that sort of that nexus or that database of people you can just pick up and go, hi, do you remember when we met? And you're not trying to bridge that trust gap right out the gate. Yeah, that's the wrong time to have to do it.
So it's having the relationship in place up front.
Yeah, as so many things are. It's about having it and also having established a way of communicating and knowing who that person is. Frankly, knowing who you could call to find out who you're supposed to call.
Right.
You know, sometimes that really is just as invaluable because, Bob, I know I've called you on a couple occasions going, who could I call that you know, that you trust about such and such?
Yeah.
And it's invaluable to build that network.
Well, can you suggest any guidelines for fostering these relationships so you really have good outcomes?
So part of it is just keeping the energy behind it. It's not easy on either side. You know, there's going to be, I think, some inherent distrust at times. There's going to be, for example, and this is the kind of craziest way to put it, but I'm going to try and phrase it this way, sort of guilt by association, if you will. So, for example, if one person in one organization does something and it makes the news, then suddenly the whole organization is reflected upon all being that way. And that's true on public or private, by the way. And so I think there's got to be some room to say that, you know, an individual's actions does not necessarily reflect all individuals' beliefs in any group. And so just a little bit of patience going, hey, what happened with that such and such event? That was kind of weird. Pick up the phone. So it's that kind of continued investment to make sure you don't prejudge a given side of the equation just by one action that potentially makes the newspaper. So that's definitely a key piece of this. I think another key piece is just say what you want out of it. Could be just something as simple as the first meeting being, hey, what do you do? You know, I've got all these ideas, you know, having read either the media or having thought about government in my own way or having thought about private industry in my own way. What do you really do? And what are you really chartered to do, and what can't you do? And don't feel bashful about asking questions. I've been told Cisco's a networking company only, as recently as earlier this year in 2007. And it's because the update about what Cisco's doing really hasn't made it you know, all the way through. And I sort of take it on foregone conclusion. You'd know exactly what Cisco does these days. And so would the other side, you know, going, well, we sort of take it on foregone conclusion. You know what the FBI does. The truth is you can't unless you keep talking. So it dispels a lot of it, and frankly, it builds the trust.
How about any words of advice or warnings about sharing or exchanging information with public or government partners?
One of the probably words of caution I would give is that part of what happens, and you know, you can learn from your own legal teams in a given group, and you can also just ask the question of the agency you're working with. You have to assume that because of their own requirements for disclosure, there are a given set of needs inside of any institution of government that may affect the public nature of the information you're giving over. So, for example, in any given public institution, of course, and public meeting, those, especially the United States, for the most part, the information will be a matter of public record. There are guidelines and, in fact, circumstances where that can change based on sensitivity, criticality, and the agency hosting the meeting. And that's something that you should know in advance. And the reason that's relevant is, you know, if for no other reason, one of the parts about the trust building is to make sure that you're not putting the other side in a position that they're now uncomfortable in, and you've given them information that they have an obligation to disclose. And that's something you can ask straight up and go, if I tell you something, how far does it have to go? So that's a key aspect of it. And it's one of the only cautions I would have. And then I guess the only other advice I would give is be upfront and straightforward on what it is you're trying to get out of this exchange. If it's something as simple as, hey, look, we've got a series of events that I've run into in the past and I need some help, say so. It may not even be capable of being offered as help. If you have a series of questions about a given event, feel free and say it that way. If you want to just educate a local community office about something you're doing, be it on the public service side, be it on the incident response side, be it on the law enforcement side, just say that. Say we're reaching out to explain where we are and who we are and build a network so if we ever need it. And last but not least is be clear about what your role in presenting your own institution or your own side is. If you're only individually asking, or if you're representing the whole of the company, or if you're representing multiple partners, just be real clear about it. And then say what the next step is so that you can continue it. A great example of this, by the way, Bob, are things like InfraGuard, which the FBI hosts as public, private, the forums that are hosted on incident response, which I'd mentioned Cyberstorm a little while ago. Frankly, your own local community office or your state or federal government offices and who your contacts are, each one of these are great. And if I were to offer up just one more piece of advice on the private side, make sure to work with, if there's a government affairs organization in your company and a legal team, just talk to them about what you're trying to get out of the whole thing. It believe it or not, it breaks down very quickly and you start building trust pretty fast.
How about a few examples of partnerships that Cisco's formed and what you've learned, what the lessons learned from those partnerships are?
So there are a number of them. We participate in what are called the information exchanges, or ISACs, that in the United States anyway, we've worked collaboratively with for the free-flowing exchange of ideas on protecting, say, the nation's critical infrastructure. I think the fact that we are leading the Lebanon Rebuilding Initiative internationally is directly related to public-private partnership and how we're trying to rebuild and help rebuild an area of the world that's gone through some pretty difficult times. We've got, say, the 21st Century School initiatives down in Mississippi, where we, as a result of the hurricanes, came up working with the governors and the local school superintendents an entirely different way to teach because, well, for example, the buildings aren't there to be taught in anymore. So now there's distance learning and wireless access and students that are leveraging the teaching relationships that are possible, a completely different way of getting public education. And those are certainly another set of examples. When we've had scenarios in which we believe that there's electronic attacking going on at our company. I can reach out on a regular basis to the Cyber Crimes Division out here in San Jose, California, of the FBI, and in other cases, the United States Secret Service Office up in San Francisco, each one of which is ends up being invaluable. But the truth of it is that I think it's always been about the people that we interact with and we learn from, because we get a sense of a global picture of need and how best we can fulfill the needs of their role and vice versa, as well as educate on what is possible.
Great insights. John Stewart, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
We've been speaking with John Stewart, Vice President and CSO for Cisco Systems. For more on this topic, you can visit www.cisco.com/go/CSPO. For CSO Online, I'm Bob Bragdon.